In our passage today, which is Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45, if you want to turn to that place. Luke chapter 1, 39 through 45. Two wonderful historic accounts, two wonderful stories converge together as one. Right? So we've had the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth and Gabriel, the angel, and the announcement of the birth of a baby, and his name was to be John. And then the second account was Mary, and Joseph is not highlighted yet, but he's mentioned. So Mary and Joseph and an angel named Gabriel and the announcement of a baby named Jesus. Parallel accounts that converge in our passage today to form one massive singular point that Luke wants us to take home. That Luke wants us to believe. Now, as I read the text, I want you to see if you can find that main verse, that main point that Luke is trying to press home to each of us. So here I am. I'm in Luke chapter 1, if you want to follow along as I read, verse 39. Now, at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." Yes, you guessed it. Blessed are those who believe. Zacharias struggled to believe. Mary said, "May it be to me according to thy word." So that we could see the point that Luke wants to drive home. And that's his last verse. Blessed are we who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to us by the Lord. Incredible. Incredible passage. And so we're going to really unpack this passage today. And what's amazing about this passage, and I hope you can imagine it, This passage is about a couple minutes from verses 39 to 45. This whole culmination of these two accounts takes place. Boom. It's incredible. Mary's hello to Elizabeth. And yeah, you know what? You know what's funny about this passage? Elizabeth and Mary aren't even the two main characters of it. There's four characters in this account. Two other people are much more prominent. So, our passage this morning in verses 39 through 45, I think, is organized into three headings around Mary's greeting, the greeting of Mary. Okay? So number one, and you have an outline, if you would like to follow along in that outline. Number one, the importance of the greeting. in verses 39 and 40, the importance of the greeting. So Mary is filled up. She has bent the knee to the Word of the living God, and she submits to it, and frankly, she's excited about it. She's really excited about it. She's probably scared too, and she's probably struggling with some degree of doubt and all of that, but God, through Gabriel, is very kind to her and says, "Behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived in her old age, and she who is called barren is now in her sixth month," which means she's showing. And so guess what the young lady does, 12 to 14 years of age? She hightails it to Elizabeth, her relative, right? For probably lots of reasons, probably out of obedience to the Word of God, probably out of excitement and joy, probably out of a desire for some confirmation, probably because she couldn't go to Joseph, she couldn't go into mom and dad. This was a shameful thing. There was one person that she could go to, and her name was Elizabeth. And so she went in haste to Elizabeth to see this old woman with the pregnancy. Let's read the text again. "Now at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country to a city of Judah." Now, remember, this is about 80 miles away, 80 to 100 miles away. So it's a 3 to 4 day journey that Mary took. Bit of a dangerous journey, but she's determined to get there. She goes to an unnamed city. We'll never know, probably till heaven, the name of that little city. I love that. I love that little detail in the text. Mary went in a hurry, with haste. Can you see Mary moving? Just so excited to get there. I take road trips with my kids. It's like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? We're going to go to the Grand Canyon, but all they want to do is go to the cheap hotel with a swimming pool. But they're in a hurry. She was in a hurry to get there. I wonder how long it took her to get there. She's just filled with joy, filled with excitement. She believed the word that was spoken to her by the angel. She wanted to share with someone. She wanted to share in fellowship with Elizabeth and commune with her and to share stories about all that God had done. And she probably was saying like us, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And you've given me a sign. I want to go see it to confirm this message." So many things happening with that little phrase. And of course, they spent a lot of time together, I'm sure. Can you imagine them sharing stories about the angel appearing and the accounts and all of the good news, and Mary saying, I'm going to bear the Messiah, the seed of the woman. And, oh, my child is going to be born and he's going to prepare the way. He's the great Elijah that was prophesied of old. Prepare the way for the Messiah. Made me think a little bit about the joy of Christian fellowship. I don't know about you, but we are wired for each other as believers. Did you hear that? We need each other on this hard road home to heaven. We feel so alone. We have no one to go to. But we long to be together, and sometimes we go in haste, just to share what the Lord has done and to build our faith together, to put our eyes upon the Lord, that kind of fellowship around the good news of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That should be what gets us excited, to be together rejoicing in the Lord. No wonder fellowship is one of the four pillars of the local church. It's a slice of heaven. Think about the impact of fellowship in this passage. These two women gathering. Think of the impact of it. Okay, well, think about, we'll find out about the spiritual impact on Elizabeth in a second. Think about the godly women and how they were encouraged to set their hearts and minds upon the truth. Think about the joy. There's joy everywhere in the short passage. The joy that flooded in as they fellowshipped around the good news of the birth of these children. J.C. Ryle says it well. He says, quote, "Without this visit, Elizabeth might never have been so filled with the Holy Spirit as we are here told she was. And Mary might never have uttered that song of praise which is now known all over the Church of Christ as the Magnificat." The words of an old divine, J.C. Ryle goes on to say, the words of an old divine are deep and true. Watch this. Listen to this. Happiness communicated doubles itself. Grief grows greater by concealing. Joy by expression. End quote. J.C. Ryle, wonderful expositor of the word. First, then, never underestimate the importance of that greeting. It showed Mary's joy. It demonstrated her faith. It promoted faith. It defined obedience. It confirmed the angel's words. It dispelled remaining doubt. And it was an expression of fellowship among true believers. Well, why so much excitement and why so much joy in that gathering? Secondly, then, notice the impact. Number one, the importance. Secondly, the impact of the greeting in verses 41 through 45. There are three impacts, or three impactful results of Mary's greeting here. Okay, number one, the leaping. The leaping. Verse 41, look at your text. It's mentioned twice by way of emphasis in this passage. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. John, who would be called the Baptist, John the Baptist, leapt. The baby moved, leapt in the womb, leaped in the womb in a special way that Elizabeth, through the Spirit, identified and connected with the greeting of Mary. Baby John leaped in that womb. And it wasn't that Mary has, maybe she had a nice voice, I don't know, I didn't ever hear Mary sing, I don't know. It probably wasn't the tone of Mary's voice. John, the baby, in the womb, through the Spirit, since John was filled in verse 15, recognized, knew that he was in the presence of the Son of the Most High, the Messiah. And he leaped. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, how did he know? My answer will be, I don't know. But I do know one thing. Luke chapter 1, verse 15 says that John will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. So the answer is, how did he know? By the Holy Spirit. Now notice that John is called a baby. Did you see that in your text? John, in the womb, is called a baby. He's not called a fetus. He's not called tissue. He's a baby. He's a person. There are four people in this account. Not two. Or at least there are four human beings in this account. Only human beings are filled with the Spirit. Not tissue. Not your thumb. Not this pulpit. Not a chair. A person. is filled with the Spirit. So you ask, why did John leap? Because he was a person who had already been filled with the Spirit. But there's more in the text. Take a look at verse 44 to answer that question, why he leaps in the womb. Look at verse 44. Let the Bible... This is an exercise of submission to the text of Scripture. Let the Bible speak. Why did baby John leap? Answer, verse 44. For behold, Elizabeth says, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, now watch this, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Did you see that? Isn't that incredible? John, a baby in the womb, filled with the Spirit, is overjoyed at the first sound of the voice of Mary because he knows he's in the presence of Jesus. Joy in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And he leaped. That's why he leaped. John, soon to be called the Baptist, was filled with the Spirit and producing fruit of the Spirit in the womb. Love. Joy. Peace. Abortion is a murder of a human being. Luke chapter 1. Are you not glad that Mary, the mother of the Messiah, staring stoning, shame, and rejection by Joseph, did not choose something? The easy way out. May it be to me according to your word. But this joy goes even deeper for John within the womb. And there's a second implication of the leaping of John within the womb. For joy. But there's a... You see, you understand this is incredible. Just enjoy the Word of God this morning. This is new to me too. John began his ministry in the womb. John, when he was leaping, when he leapt in the womb, John was announcing Jesus, the Messiah. There he is. Worship him, know him, have joy in him. He's here, he's come. John the Baptist is 3 months before his birth. Jesus, who would be called Jesus of Nazareth, just conceived. John the Baptist senses the presence of the God-man. The greatest prophet, other than Christ himself, began his prophecy from the womb. And it makes me think of the story, perhaps 30 years later, when John the Baptist is with his disciples, and John the Baptist's disciples are getting a little jealous at Jesus' disciples. Jesus' disciples are now baptizing more people than John the Baptist is. And it's just John the Baptist's disciples say, hey, did you see? He's baptizing more people. And they're all concerned about it. Do you remember what John the Baptist says? This is in John chapter 3, verse 27. Here is John near the end of his ministry, reflecting on the absolute joy of his ministry. Not an easy ministry, not a popular ministry, not a financially sound ministry at all, but a joyful ministry. The absolute joy of his ministry of saying, there he is, pointing to Jesus, announcing Jesus, preparing the way for Jesus. He says to his complaining disciples in John chapter 3, verse 27, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Christ. But I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease. The joy of John the Baptist began 3 months before his birth. His ministry began. Even as the sword would come down in that jail cell upon his neck, there was joy and peace in believing. So, the first impact of Mary's greeting was the leaping. Secondly, the filling. The filling. Look again at verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. This doesn't mean that Elizabeth was born again. As a point of fact, verse 6, which I had Jason read, says that Elizabeth and Zacharias were both righteous and blameless in the sight of God. They loved God. Okay, so this is not regeneration. This is the Spirit coming on in an individual, which happened all the time in the Old Testament with the Old Testament prophets, and the New Testament prophets would come upon an individual in anointing of the Spirit, a filling of the Spirit for power and effecting service. And of course, prophecy. So that leads us to the third impactful result of Mary's greeting, the blessing. The blessing. Verse 45. Now who's speaking after being filled with the Spirit, right? Being anointed to speak as an Old Testament prophet. Elizabeth speaks, and boy, does she speak. And the Greek text is just emphatic, and she cried out with a loud voice, saying, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So Elizabeth, filled with the Spirit, is blessing. She is not magically zapping people with blessing here. Elizabeth, through the Spirit, it's revealed to her from the Holy Spirit what is going on immediately at the sound of her voice. Not after, 6 days of an ancient Near Eastern greeting. That's not what this text says. Immediately, the Spirit gives her this and knows what's going on. She speaks it forth. So what Elizabeth is doing here is simply saying, these three people are in a state of blessedness. Blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you. Three. Let's find out who the three are that Elizabeth blesses. There's three people that are blessed. First, and most importantly, she blesses Jesus. Number one, she blesses Jesus. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. So, there's going to be a human being born that is blessed above all other human beings. And his name is Jesus, the elect one, the one foreknown before the foundation of the world. Can you imagine the blessedness of that man? Of all other men, of all other people, he is the blessed one forever. Amen. Jesus is the most blessed man to ever exist. Am I right? And he's a man right now. And he's in heaven. There's a man seated in heaven, the most blessed one. But Elizabeth goes beyond his manhood. You say, well, how does she do that? Well, notice what she says. The faith of Elizabeth flows from our understanding through the spirit of the baby that is in Mary's womb. Look at verse 43. Look at verse 43 as she blesses Jesus. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? Okay, read that again. Let it sink in. How has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? Did you hear what she said? Elizabeth knew that the baby in the womb of Mary was her Lord. That's what the text says. And I take the word Lord to mean all that you think it means right now. Here's why I take it that way. Because if you the same term for Lord, right, in verse 43 is used in verse 45. Spoken to her by the Lord. You see that? Same term. So this is the Lord. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the Lord. This is Yahweh. In fact, MacArthur notes correctly that this word translated Lord as a divine title is used more than 24 times in the first two chapters of the book of Luke. If you don't like these two, the evidence in the near context, the far context in Luke 1 and 2 is 24 times this word for Lord, as the divine title is used in the first two chapters, referring to God. Brothers and sisters, I believe Elizabeth understood that Jesus was the promised Messiah. I believe that she believed that this Messiah was her Lord, that this little baby boy was her God. Remember what Gabriel said to Mary, that the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. What an example of faith. What an example of the work of the Spirit in the revelation of truth. It reminds me of Peter's great confession when Jesus asked him, "Who do you think I am?" And Peter, because the Spirit had revealed it to him, Jesus said, he says, "You are." Peter answered and said to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter wasn't the first. So Elizabeth blesses Jesus because she knows that the one inside Mary was her Messiah, the Christ, the Lord of glory, her Lord. Secondly, Elizabeth blesses Mary. Three blessings. Number two, she blesses Mary. Verse 42. There's a couple of reasons that she blesses Mary. Let's find out what they are. Look at verse 42. "And she cried out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord.'" So, she blesses Mary. Why? Well, as point of fact, Mary was blessed as a woman to bear a child in the first place. It's a blessing, especially in the ancient Near East. Blessing to bear a child. But to bear the child, to bear the seed of the woman, the promised Messiah who would crush the head of the serpent to be the seed of the woman and to be the woman. Now that's a blessing. But Luke does not culminate. That's pretty good. But Luke does not culminate with that blessing. That's the culminating blessing. The culminating reason that Mary is blessed. The main reason and the culminating reason that Mary is blessed because she was blessed to believe the Word of God. She was blessed to believe the Word of God. Look at verse 45 again. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. By the Lord, not by Gabriel. Gabriel was a messenger. God's message, it was God's word, the text says in verse 45, through Gabriel. She believed God's word and she was blessed. As point of fact, what good would it have been to carry the Messiah and not believe in the Word of God? There's a disconnect there. I wonder if there's a disconnect in our lives too. Not so with Mary. She was blessed to bear and blessed to believe. So this is the culminating verse, as I said, of the book of Luke, verse 45. Zacharias did not believe. According to verse 20 that we read, behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. And then the angel comes to Mary, speaking this good news about the person and work of Jesus. But in contrast to Zacharias, Mary believed that nothing would be impossible with God. Every word, remember? Every word. And she, as a slave of the Most High God, behold, a slave of the Lord, may it be to me according to thy word. And now we come to verse 45, blessed is who believes the word of the Lord. So Elizabeth says, this is amazing. Okay. Elizabeth says, this is the place of blessing. Faith in God's word. This is the place of favor. This is the place of grace. This is the place of gratitude. This is the place of joy. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. So, that leads us then. She blesses Jesus. Elizabeth does. She blesses Mary. Watch this. She blesses us. It's in the text. Unfortunately, it's in the Greek text. She blesses us. I agree with many scholars who believe in this last blessing, if you want to write it down and research it later, is a participle naming a state of a kind of person. And Mary, he doesn't use her in the second person, you're blessed. He speaks with her in the third person, she. Strange use of word with the she and the participle there. It is as if Luke, through the Spirit, and Elizabeth and her prophecy being filled with the Spirit, is speaking to all who would believe. Just like in the book of John when Jesus says, "It's Thomas, good job. I'm glad you could see and believe, but blessed are they who have not seen." Same thing, and yet believe. Luke is blessing us in this passage. Are you ready for it? Okay. The word for blessing in verse 45 is a different word than the previous two words. This word for blessing is a beatitude. This word for blessing could be translated fortunate, happy. One scholar says enjoying favorable circumstances. The best translation is a state of happiness. It's a beatitude. We are included in verse 45. We are. We can take this, we can apply this to us. The Holy Spirit, through Luke, wants us to take these accounts, and the Holy Spirit wants us to be believing in the Word of God, that everything that God says for our future in Christ Jesus will be fulfilled in Christ. He wants us to put our faith in Jesus Christ. He wants us to be not unbelieving, but believe. He wants to take our faith right now and that we believe more and more and more in the finished work of Jesus Christ. To believe in the Messiah. He wants us to believe and know that that is the place of happiness. That is the place of blessedness. Blessed if we believe. How many people in this world do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as point of fact, you are not in the state of blessedness. You are in the state of condemnation. And if you do not repent and turn in faith to your substitute, Jesus Christ, then you will be eternally punished in a place called hell. That is not happiness. Hell is not funny. And it's not happiness, that's for sure. But this is written to believers. This is written to a Theophilus, a believer who needed to grow. He needed to increase his faith with the exact truth. And so this is for us, too. So here's our problem. We think we're happy or blessed with a big home. We think we're blessed when we have a big paycheck. We think we're blessed when our kids are successful. We think we're blessed when we get a new church building. We think we're blessed when we have good food to eat. Yes, these are blessings. But let me tell you, these are not states of blessings. This is not a blessed state. Those are temporal things that are here today and gone tomorrow. These benefits can be taken away. They can fade away. There's only one true blessing that's a pure gift. The presence of Jesus Christ through the Spirit, so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing, you might have life in His name. Blessed are you, happy are you, though, who have believed in the Word of the Lord. Do you realize what we have in holding this book in our hands right here? That's not a blessed state yet. Blessed are you who believe in all the words that are written herein. Blessed are you that, like Mary, says, "Behold, I'm a slave of the Lord. May it be to me according to your word." Do we really believe? Do we possess the one thing that will put us in a blessed state forever? Do we truly have saving faith in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ? So that leads us then finally to the implications of the greeting as we wrap up and try to just let it soak in. The implications of the greeting. Two really broad implications. Number one, an essential to real faith. And essential to real faith. Listen, the work of the Spirit of God is everywhere in the book of Luke, especially in the birth narratives. Brothers and sisters, unless the Holy Spirit comes to you and grants you illuminations and open up your eyes to believe the truth of the Scripture, you will never believe. The Holy Spirit must illumine His Word to bring understanding. The Holy Spirit must gift faith and then empower faith in the Word of God so that we might see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's the work of the Spirit of God. Faith and belief is supernatural. It's from the Spirit. It is of the Lord. So when we come to the Word of God, you cannot believe it in the power of the flesh. You must ask the Lord, "Oh Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." So that's the first thing. There's an essential to real faith, and it's the Spirit's work. Secondly, though, there's evidence of real faith in this passage as we see the implications of the greeting. The evidence of real faith, there's three. Number one, real faith produces activity. Real faith produces activity. Mary went in haste to find her cousin Elizabeth. She didn't wait around, she moved because she believed. You see, faith is active. Faith is living. Faith desires to obey the Word of God. Faith works itself out in love. So number one, faith produces activity. Number two, watch this, real faith produces humility. Real faith produces humility. Whenever you see true faith, whether for the first time or in our lives for the millionth time, there's going to be a close association with humility. Think about Mary. Verse 38. "Behold, the slave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Pure submission to the Lord. Submission to the Lord. Are you ready? Even if there might be shame. Pure submission to the Lord. Even if she might be stoned by the religious authorities. Pure submission to the Lord, even if she was shunned by Joseph, the man she loved. And yet she humbly submitted to the Lord of glory, and faith is born from humility and produces humility. A proud Christian is an oxymoron. And then there's Elizabeth. Look at the text again and see how Luke highlights this. Find verse 43. Look at what Elizabeth says about this whole moment. "How has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? I'm not worthy of such a blessing. I mean, look at me. I'm pregnant. Can you believe that? How has this happened to me? Mary, you're here. You're going to... The Messiah is... How is this happening that I get to see Mary and I get to bear a child? I get to be involved in the very plan of God. How has this happened to me to be in the presence of Mary? To stand right here now in the presence of my Lord? I need to pinch myself. How can I be standing here right now?" There's a humility that comes over not only Mary in this passage, but Elizabeth of old. A humility in the presence of God and what He is doing. "How could the Lord love me so much? He would do this for me. Why me? Why me?" Number three, true faith is produces activity, produces humility, and produces felicity. All right, I had to get the itty in there. Joy. Joy. True faith produces joy. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 15:13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's so much joy in this passage. I mean, Mary goes in haste to see Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit. And Elizabeth cries forth with great joy. And then there's John in the womb. He's leaping all over for joy. And then Elizabeth is pronouncing joy and blessing and happiness on all who believe. There's joy everywhere here. At the culmination where Luke wants us to see that faith in Jesus is everything, he surrounds it by joy. It's surrounded by joy. Overjoyed. And Mary can't help herself. She breaks out into a musical with a hymn where she says this, "My soul exalts the Lord and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." There's joy everywhere here. Why are we so overjoyed? There's a hint of it in our passage. The leaping joy of baby John in the womb due to the presence of Jesus. Now watch this. This is unbelievable. The leaping here, the word for leaping here used twice, is the skipping or leaping as of a sheep of the field. You remember that this whole passage speaks of John the Baptist, right? Prophesied in Malachi. You remember that the last book of the Bible also spoke of leaping? That chapter that spoke of John the Baptist? Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, "But as for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall." Snow came, 9 inches of it. It's coming. And we're going to be cooped up, right, in our homes. And it can get long. And it's dark. And we're inside. And we long to be free. We long for the warmth and the freedom of the spring. And so the idea of a calf that is released is the idea of a farmer who has a yearling calf, and that calf in the wintertime is cooped up, roped in bondage in the darkness of the winter. But then the spring comes, and the farmer releases the bonds, and the sunlight comes in, the barn door is open, and that yearling calf goes out and leaps around in the field and frolics, hops, bounces, the text says. Don't think of a bucking bronco. Think of this bouncing, leaping, joy-filled calf. Sheer joy when let out into the space and the sunlight. Mary hurried and Elizabeth shouted and pinched herself. And John leaped, joy in the believing. What about us? What about us? The text says, "The Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in His wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall." You know why we go forth? Because we were sick and dead in the darkness and in the bondage of our sin in that barn in the darkness. We could not free ourselves. But the Son of Righteousness came, rose with healing in His wings, and came to us and released our bonds and opened that barn door and released us from our shackles so that we could rise, go forth, and leap for joy into the fields following our Good Shepherd. I think of that famous hymn by John Wesley, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed me. Amazing love, how can it be?" And we go out, leaping for joy. Why? Because the Son of Righteousness has risen. The Son of Righteousness is risen. Righteousness. He has forgiven all of our sins. He's cleansed us. Jesus took them all away. All of them are gone. He's clothed us in His perfect righteousness as a robe. We stand complete in Him. With sin forgiven and righteousness ours, we are healed, we are free. So blessed are those. Happy are those who have believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to us by the Lord.